You are listening to The Three Intuitive Healers with Heather Nicholson, Angela Johnson, and Stephanie Gonzalez. Produced by The Three Intuitive Healers Show. Visit thethreeintuitivehealers.com for articles and podcast shows discussing our personal insights and sharing our experiences with you. It is our belief that every human is an intuitive and every human has the capacity to heal. We'll take you along with us on a journey of self-growth and healing so you too can open your mind, heart, and life to the healing magic within. We'd like to thank the listeners for tuning in today. My name is Heather Nicholson.
Angela Johnson.
I'm Stephanie Gonzalez. I thought we'd look into what brought us all to this point in our life where being of service for others is now hopefully not only just our goal, but a lifestyle that we are living. And I wanted to know, did you always know you wanted to be of service, or was it something that you discovered along your few decades here on planet Earth?
I'll go first. For me, I think I've always wanted to be of service. It started like as a kid. Secretly, I always wanted to be the psychic that could help people solve mystery cases. And then as it went on from there, my family lineage has always been teachers. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to be a teacher. Nope, forget that. So it turned into... I wanted to be a nurse, but I was having a hard time because I'm dyslexic. I'm also not only visually dyslexic, I'm also audio dyslexic. And I was always so worried that I was going to kill a patient. Like the doctor barked out an order for some type of drug and I was going to administer this drug wrong. So that weighed heavy on me. I even went to college still thinking I can still become a nurse, but it didn't pan out. And life happened and got in the way. And then Reiki came along and here I am.
Was that the point where you actually started walking the walk, right? You started helping people of service? Or what were some of the things you did along the way? Because you said you long knew you wanted to be of service.
I was trying to figure out what I could do to be in the hospital. And that's what I start. Yeah, I started looking at being an ultrasound technician, just other things that don't require me administering drugs or possibly killing a patient.
That's excellent goals, Heather.
Winning. But yeah, it was just so... So I started looking at avenues like that, like an ultrasound technician, and I thought, oh, how cool it would be to help somebody, you know. I know it's not always, you're not always bringing good news to people, but still, I could get in there and look at whatever. And as a kid, I always used to watch surgeries. I loved watching surgeries as a kid.
So the medical field really called you, huh? Do you look back now and are you complacent that you didn't force yourself, but really push yourself to be in any kind of medical field? Do you regret that you didn't, or you think, gosh, I'm glad I didn't. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do regardless.
I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing regardless. I mean, there was some regret. Oh, I can't be the nurse that I want to be, because actually I wanted to be a pediatrics oncology nurse. So that's where I felt my calling was. Mm. So, but since I couldn't do that, this is a perfect alternative. And I think that also, it also falls in along the lines of why I want to do more. Like Reiki isn't enough for me, and I want to do more than just what Reiki can offer. So,
do you know what that looks like at this time?
No, and I don't want to, because I think we limit ourselves. I am open to being more and what that looks like. I'd like to heal. I'd like to look inside them, know what's wrong with them, heal that within them, and not only do it on the physical plane, but also mind, body, spirit. So if I can get to that point, that's fabulous. That's my goal. You know, it's a great goal to have, but, you know, we'll see where we go.
Very good. Wow, exciting. Thank you. How about you, Angela? Were you always seeking?
No. I'll just tell you that right now. I was thinking about it while Heather was talking. I thought, okay, what did I remember the very first things I wanted to be. I wanted to be a nun. So clearly I'm from a Catholic family, a Mexican Irish Catholic family. But I wanted to be a saint because I wanted to be the most famous, best nun in the world. And that was a goal for a while, which then clearly went away. And then as I've mentioned before, all of my life from that failed sainthood attempt on, I wanted to be an actress. But there was so much tied up in that, that very quickly from, I would say, after grade school or after high school, the joy of performing was gone. It was just something that I wanted to do because I wanted to be famous, because I wanted to get attention so then I could help people. So it was never about the acting. And when I would think about what do I like about acting, I thought, well, I would want to do movies so people could like go to a place and forget about their lives and feel happier for an hour or so. Like it was all about helping people feel happier, but not about the joy of actually performing. And I didn't really let myself explore that. And I remember one time we were at church and this young priest was up there. He was new and he was talking about how when he was younger, he wanted to be an actor. And I thought, oh God, and I wouldn't listen to anything else because I thought, no, I'm not going to be one. I'm going to be a famous actress. And it wasn't until, you know, my 40s that I start, because I never did anything with it. I just went to class and I just had jobs and I never actually tried to act. It was just something I said I wanted to do. And when I really examined, why do you want to act? And I started to look into like the need for validation from people, clearly was a part of it. But then the other side of that is this need to help people forget about their lives. And when I really started to explore that, I realized I wanted to help people feel better about their lives. And how do you do that? Well, you get them more empowered. So I started to untangle this hairball of what I had just lumped together and coded in the phrase actress. And when I picked that apart, I realized, well, what I actually want to do, when I feel that zing and that spring in my step is when I give someone an aha moment of, oh, if I approach it this way, then life opens up for me, or the pain dissipates, or the wisdom, if the pain converts to wisdom. So when I started to explore that, I started to slowly kind of get to the path where I'm at right now. But it's interesting, Eve, I had this period of free fall before I came to energy work when I knew I didn't want to act anymore. I started writing and enjoyed that a bit more and actually started doing stuff like creating projects for the first time. But then it very quickly dried up. And so I thought, okay, I'm not going to make the same mistake. And for the next 10, 20 years, tell myself I'm a writer when I'm clearly not inspired by that anymore. So I dropped everything. I dropped all labels. And I was my mid-40s, right? And I'm like, I suddenly don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And I went to 3 readers at different times throughout the course of this one year. And I said, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Give me a reading. Give me a reading, you know? And they're like, okay. Every single one of them told me I was a healer. It never even occurred to me. When I would go and get my cards read in the past and be like, when am I going to be a famous actress? And then people would be like, I see Raphael with you. I'm like, that means nothing. And they'd be like, well, that's the Archangel of Healing. I'm like, oh, am I going to be famous? You know, and it would keep coming up. And so 3 times I go to a reader, 3 times I'm told I'm a healer. I'm like, okay. I've got to look into this. And I remember that because when I finally committed to, all right, I'm going to be a healer. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to be a healer. The next morning I was going to work and I looked up in the sky and it was the time of year, it was in October, where the moon is full in the morning, or you see it clearly. And there was a dragon. There was a cloud that looked like a the Chinese dragon with its mouth opening up to eat the moon. And it startled me. I actually stopped in my tracks and I was like, okay, well, that's got to be kind of a good sign. So for whatever reason, I took that as a sign of, yes, keep going down that path, keep going down that path. And so I explored the Tibetan bowls. Like I went to a person who put bowls on you and rings them. It was amazing, but that didn't feel right. I took a class in crystal therapy, which was amazing, but that didn't feel right. Even though I suddenly became obsessed with crystals, obsessed. Like I fell in love with crystals. I still like them, but I mean, I liked them. I was like, couldn't get enough. So I studied that. That went to the wayside. What else? There was something else. And finally, I came to Reiki and something clicked. And I got my master's level and I went to William Lee Rand and had him, you know, all that. And then I started I've started working on people, which I enjoyed, but I started to drift. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to tell my husband who met me when I was going to be an actress and then became a writer and then became a crystal healer. And then maybe this, and he's like, oh God, what are you now, Angie? What are you now? But I had to remain true to the fact that I wasted decades telling myself the same thing. You're an actress and wasn't really honest with myself. And so I vowed that I wouldn't do that again. So I thought, okay, well, what is my favorite part of the Reiki healing? And I realized I had incorporated tarot. I would draw a card at the beginning of the session and I would do spiritual Rorschach with them. And that would start to get the person thinking about the mental and emotional spiritual aspects of what they were coming to me for in terms of the physical complaint. And I really liked that. And then I started to realize, you know what? People always come to me for advice all my life. Even as a child, adults would listen to me. Now, my life didn't necessarily reflect that. Don't get me wrong. I was not Buddha on the hill. I was a freaking mess at times. Ask anybody who went to college with me. But there were times of beautiful clarity. And that was a pattern in my life. So I started to explore tarot. So now I'm in this blend of Reiki and tarot and using it. I'm actually looking more towards spiritual psychology. I want to start looking into that this year. So it's a very long-winded way of saying that no, consciously, I didn't think that I wanted to go down this path. This would have been the last path I would have chosen. But yet I am happier than I've ever been. And I'm actually more present in my life for the first time. Instead of someday, 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 I'm actually in my life. And yet it is still evolving. It's still evolving. I just know that I'm drawn towards the concepts of leadership, the concepts of sovereignty, like having someone truly be able to stand in their own power and navigate their life, whatever gets thrown at them, is really exciting to me. And so that's sort of my little North Star right now. And then everything kind of just, it'll be what it'll be.
Do you think it was so important to release that goal of being an actress and that freed you up? Once you got away from that, you opened yourself up to following again what was there the whole time, but you just defined it in a different way.
Yeah, you know that,
and it felt right when you first started. I mean, there was no resistance to it. Like, oh my gosh,
was such relief when I dropped the label of acting, which I had done once before in my 20s. And everybody, like my family's like, oh, but you always wanted to act. And I'm like, no, I really think. And that's when I went off into the consulting world for a long time. And yet then I came back because I thought I wanted to act, but what I really wanted to do was get out of consulting and get back to California. So these were all sort of stepping stones. But the trick of it that I finally learned was to be honest with myself once the chewing gum lost its flavor. And it was beyond, oh, I'm bored with this. What's new? It's like, no, this isn't, I've used this up right now. And I will probably and do come back to things. I always revisit things, but I've learned to move on to the next step when it's starting to beckon. because there's something to be learned there. And what I'm sort of thinking I'm going to become is one of those sort of wise women that has, yes, I can help you with essential oils. Yes, I can help you with Reiki. Yes, I can help you with Claire's. Yes, I can help you with tarot. But it's all in service of getting whoever is in front of me to be a spiritual grown-up and stand in their sovereignty. Because I feel like I'm sort of a spiritual mother. And when if you mother correctly, the person you're mothering no longer needs you after a certain point. They become a self-actualized, fully realized person.
I love that term. I gotta start calling you mom. So in with like with Heather, she said she had a desire to be in the hospitals and she had actual fields that she felt were going to be best able to serve and, you know, people and children. So it wouldn't surprise her that she's in this level now at Reiki and she's even thinking bigger with her healing. Did it surprise you when you embraced Reiki and you realized, oh my gosh, was that surprising to you? Or
oh yeah, when I found myself saying to my boss, I'm so excited, I just checked out this volunteer program, I'm like, who is this? Like, who is this? And I remember like friends would be like into volunteering, I think, oh, that's so good for you. But inside, even though I did feel that, there was an element of like, wow, that's really boring. Mm-hmm. And yet now I'm just like, could not wait to put on my salmon pink volunteer blazer that they hand to you, which trust me, you have got to be dedicated if you're wearing that color and that cut in front of people.
And white.
Salmon pink and white. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it is not. This is truly a labor
of love. Or you could be all white and look like a giant marshmallow walking around. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a labor of love. Let me tell you. But it was what was right. I get so bored now when I think of, because I have a dear friend who's still an actress and she loves it. And I just think, that's so not for me. Mm-hmm. Like I would never go back. I would never.
Right.
So it's just fun to see how different my life is. Mm-hmm. And it's such a good lesson on the things you think you need to be or to have in order to be happy. I have done 180s on those. And it's really neat to realize, you know what, let go of the label, which is kind of what Heather was talking about. She's not sure what the label is going to be, but she's working towards a general area. You know, let go of the labels of what it means. If you're interested in healing or anything, let go of the labels and go towards the guts of what it is about it that you want to do or be or share with the world. Let go of the labels. Define yourself.
Yeah.
Stephanie, what about you? I've been talking for 10 minutes.
Yeah, no. Well, we gotta understand the roots, right? In order to understand where we got here and where we're going. I'm more like you, certainly not like Heather at all. I had no desire and no inclination that I was even a helpful person. In fact, I thought the opposite, more so than you. You just didn't even recognize it. I always thought I was just not a helpful person because I would never run towards helping someone. I would pretty much just stand to the side and hopefully no one would ask me for help or to get involved, quite frankly. Right. I didn't want to get involved, but was learned training from my family. And so there was a lot of fear with getting involved. There was consequences of a lot of things. So I would say it was fear-based. But what was interesting about it is from some of my earliest experiences, I always had animals coming to me because, again, I wasn't going to run out and to the middle of the road to save a dog. I would never be that person because there was danger of, you know, this and that. But anyway, but if something came to me and animals did, then I would help. And probably really when it resonated and I started to look at really how I was being utilized to help was my daughter, I've told you the story before, when my daughter she came to me and she was little and she said there was a hummingbird's head on the grass. And I had told her, oh my gosh, you know, maybe it fell out of the nest and it died and, you know, something ate it. And I said, just, it's okay. Just leave it there. You know, it'll get consumed into the ground. She says, oh, okay. But it blinked at me. So I went, oh, well, so I better go see. And so I went with her and it was the whole little hummingbird. It wasn't just the head, but his body was, you know, underneath it. And so she couldn't tell. So I could see a nest. I picked it up. And I put it in a little spot, and I was hoping the mother would find it. It was a baby, fully formed, and but it wasn't going to live on its own, clearly. And so my neighbor later came by, and I told her that there was this little hummingbird I had found that my daughter pointed out, and she wanted to see it immediately. She immediately said, okay, we got to take this, and she took it, and she looked up how to take care of a hummingbird, so she boiled some, you know, whatever the nectar she had to do. And she had to feed it every 30 minutes. So she wanted to do that. So she did it. But here is where it involved me again, because again, that would have been usually that's my involvement, right? Okay, well, good. It's got someone. The next day she had to work all day and she couldn't take the hummingbird with her. So guess who she asked to watch this? So when I took the hummingbird and, you know, I was home with the kids and had to feed this hummingbird every 30 minutes and understood, look what's happened here. Now I'm babysitting a hummingbird that is not even a pet, but I'm partaking and keeping it alive.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah. It just started flashing, you know, that my involvement was always just do whatever, but give it away. And here I was facing kind of a fear. What if it dies on my hands, right? I didn't want to do it because, right, if she could think I'm this, whatever. But anyway, it ended up surviving and it did very, very well. But once that happened, then it was just a floodgates of then little animals just coming, you know, and I always liked lizards and frogs and was never afraid of anything other than spiders, really. So I've got pictures of all kinds of things. I've got a picture of a little lizard, God bless its little soul, that my dog had pounced on because it was wandering around with a snail shell stuck on its head. So it couldn't see anything. And it was like, you know, 103 that day. So I had to take the snail shell off. I did Reiki on the little creature. It ended up passing, but I have this picture of a lizard with a snail shell. It stuck its head in and got trapped. And, you know, I have squirrels that have died, gotten stuck in things, and I've had to deal with them. Birds that have fallen out, bunnies that have come into the yard that I've got, you know, it's just nonstop. So once I finally embraced that this was, you know, a call to service. And I think it came to me with animals because I was always, I wasn't afraid of animals as I was with people because there was no expectation of blame. And that really stood in my way of helping others was, what if it doesn't turn out right? Who's going to blame me? What trouble am I getting into? Because that's what I heard, you know, unfortunately at home. My dad was always worried if someone's going to sue you for something. So you better not get involved. And God bless him. You know, it really was his fear, you know, don't get involved with people. And so I had that too. So it doesn't surprise me when Reiki finally came because I was long pursued from it. And then when I think back to, I was the oldest, or I am the oldest. So when my sisters would get hurt, I'd be the one they'd come to, and I fix it up and put weird tape on it and give them a concoction to drink. So it was always there, but it was never allowed to expand. And now that I've embraced Reiki and then have expanded that with my intuitive studies, I am comfortable with it. And I've decided, I've embraced what that really means. And it's, for me, it's far less about making your ailment go away and that kind of healing respect. For me, I'm seeing myself as a spiritual locksmith. And I say that because when you need someone to open something, you call a locksmith and all he does is just open it and leave. And that's what I'm feeling when I'm doing Reiki or intuitive work with someone, is I'm just got the key to open it so you can do what you got to do with it. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I'm taking it right now, is the messages I get that it's far less about me. It's just me being in that place when someone needs, you know, that thing to be open, which is themselves. So I just marvel at how spirit allows us to be comfortable and grow into where we are, right? Without being too resistant or too scared. the opportunities just start coming. And God bless for me, maybe they came big for you both when you first started saying, oh my God, I helped this person or this person. For me, that would have been too much. So it came in little small segments, like I say, first animals and then little things with people so that I could grow into it without fearing. How about you? Do you both have a story of like when you helped a person and you really, it clicked, something clicked in there, like I've got to pursue this. This is it now. And you weren't afraid or did you have resistance when you first helped a person and they said, oh my gosh, you know, you helped me do this or you've changed something?
I'm always afraid of when I do really well. And then I'm like, well, now how am I going to follow up on that? When somebody has a major aha moment, especially with the tarot, and it's something that really they take and they run, they're like, oh, thank you. And then it's like, oh God, what am I going to do when they come back? Like, you know, it's like, what do I do the next come at bat? And it's really, wow. It sounds so weird to even say it out loud, but it's truly something that has plagued every area of my life. If I do really well, how do I follow this up? And people are going to be disappointed with me. So that's, in all honesty, that's something I deal with every single time.
It's a hard thing to live up to.
It is.
If you have that. Do you have those expectations of other people? Like if you were to go to see someone and they would do this great thing, why would you put that on yourself, do you think?
Well, I think it's natural if you have this incredible moment, but there's still a part of me that realizes, okay, it can't be every time because you're not, first of all, that messed up. That if you're going to someone and you're getting a solution, you know, like it's not going to be like every single time. And I get that. But I will be honest, I do get a little disappointed if it's not like, okay, it was a good session, but it wasn't like the amazing session that I had the first time with that person. So I just assume everybody's feeling that way when they come to me. If I, you know, have this, like I said, there's times where you deliver a message or you interpret the card in a way that'll give you chills when you say something. And you know, or the person will be like, oh, I just got goosebumps, because you know you've delivered some truth with a capital T. And yeah, it's ego. It's needing validation and it's needing to know that every single time it's going to be amazing. And I'm, you know, working through that. And that's when I have to go back to my inner self and just say, okay, but your goal is to help. Your goal is just to do what you can to help and bring a moment of grace for someone. So if it's a fireworks, great. If it's not, you're only here to help or to try to help. So that usually calms me down.
She brings up a good point, Heather, I'm going to ask you. Angela brings up when you help someone and getting those ahas, and then she has, of course, her expectations of doing something bigger. Have you helped someone, well, done a service for someone, and it was the opposite? The person was resistant or left angry or just felt unfulfilled. How did that affect you? Because you're giving it your all and they didn't maybe recognize the healing or the opportunity that came through it. Have you had to face that yet? Because that's tough on the ego and the self, and that could derail a person.
I think when I've had clients come and they don't come back, you kind of wonder,
okay.
Like,
oh, okay. You put that on.
Is it something, you know, I, at that moment, you're like, oh, they never came back. But you know what? It's okay, because maybe it wasn't right for them at that moment. Mm-hmm. And I now realize that, you know, going down this path, you kind of learn. You're like, you know, it might not have been the right moment for them or you, you know. I'm trying to remember. Did somebody get angry at me? No.
Or a sense of failure, like for you at the time, you felt like, gosh, I didn't give them, like you expected more of yourself and you didn't see the outcome.
Yeah, that was half of my Reiki journey up until a year, 2 years ago. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was like, I kept on tapping my hands. Is these things on? Hello?
Because you wanted to see the physical results or hear them. And some people don't share them or don't know how to articulate them maybe don't feel them.
Cures you of that really quickly is working at a hospital, because then they'll just be like, oh, thank you so much, bye bye. Oh, good. Yeah. So you're just like, okay.
Yeah, there's no like, oh, you're just like moved on. You move on to the next room.
Why do you think that is, ladies? Why was a hospital experience very different than perhaps a Reiki share or a client?
Well, I think it helps when you are working on people who, I mean, I've worked on hospice there. You're not going to walk in and pull a Jesus and they're going to get out of the hospital. Like, you're not going to cure them, right? It's understood. And then there's other things, like they are in a body cast. Like, it's so clear that you are not going to do this miraculous thing. So now you start to look for where you do help, and you do, and you start to validate. And that was also super helpful. I think we've told you the story before, Stephanie, where when I started before Heather at the hospital, and they used to make the Reiki people go around by themselves. And after I got trained, the woman who trained me, I was like, and now I'm staying with you. She was like, well, but we're supposed to do this separately. I said, I know, but I'm going to be working with you. And fortunately, you know, she's my Reiki mama. So she was like, okay. So I kind of rewrote the rules there, because when you're with somebody and they're validating that, hey, I got that image too. And Heather and I, we helped each other grow so much when we would go around together, because we'd be like, I got that image too. I had that phrase or that entity, you know, angel or whatever. So when you start to see, okay, there is something happening. Maybe the person's not getting out of bed and leaving the hospital later on this afternoon because you were there, but something is happening because we're having these same experiences without even talking to each other. That helped, at least for me, help me get out of the, well, nothing less than a miraculous healing is going to be proof that my presence there did something. You know, you learn to adjust. You get it's just a very real world situation.
Yeah. And they're, you know, when the patients would fall asleep and they would be all like, oh, I'm so sorry, I fell asleep on you. And I was like, no, you don't understand. That was the biggest compliment you could have gave me. Yeah. Because a lot of people don't fall asleep in hospitals. It's hard for them to relax. Mm-hmm. And here I am, I'm walking in and I'm like, hey, let me give you some Reiki. And they knock out, and they knock out pretty hard. So it's great. And as soon as you're done, they start waking up and they're like, oh.
Yeah. So,
you know.
But it's one of the, is there an instance that you think in your Reiki, we use Reiki in your Reiki healing, where you had to push through a great fear in order to help a person? Was it the going into a hospital? Was that fearful stuff for you? I mean, Heather wanted to always be in a hospital, but was there anything that you're like, yeah, still.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, like walking into a patient's room all by yourself, yeah. Knock, knock. Hi, did you ask for Reiki? No, what's that?
That's the worst, when their family signed them up because they heard about it. And you got this person looking at you like, no, don't touch me.
My room. That's crazy.
Because you're walking in like, I'm just going to lightly touch you all over your body.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
Or it was the chaplain at the hospital that was usually signing up people.
Oh, yeah. How cool is that?
Whether they wanted or not. Oh, my God. No, or knew about it. He asked them.
They asked him, oh, okay. Sure, we'll try it. And then when the chaplain asked one of the ladies that I was working on, she comes in, she's like, I don't really know what this is. The chaplain recommended it. You're not going to put some voodoo on me, are you?
Oh, wow. No, that's extra, man. No, it was great. The chaplain was such a huge supporter, but you have to remember, sometimes these people are on drugs. So they'll say yes one day. Mm-hmm. You come in the next day, they're like, I have no recollection. Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. And then sometimes they're really pleasantly surprised, and that's neat. And I've also, Heather, I don't think it was you. I think it might have been Sally, my Reiki mama. When we were walking around, we were working on this older, beautiful, just Mexican grandmother, right? She couldn't speak English, and she held her hands in the prayer position. You know, she was Catholic. She had and her granddaughter, when we were done, was crying. It's so neat to see the family members see their loved one being loved and being mm-hmm. taken care of. And it's such a great experience that when we finally do get back into hospitals, I highly recommend anybody who does Reiki, get into the hospital. Best training you will ever get. And it's so meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very meaningful, and it makes you grow your confidence so quickly. Yeah. Like it's, you're jumping into the deep end.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
We need to drag you in there, Stephanie.
Yeah, believe me, I have asked Heather a couple of times. The only thing is I was concerned about the distance, in that it's a, you know, back in the day when there was a lot more traffic when people went, it would be, you know, a good jaunt of just travel time, because you're only there. Are you there 2 hours? You both?
It depends.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it would be, and it was, I think she was available on a Saturday. It would just take a good chunk at the time. I was doing a lot more that when we were free, I was doing a lot more on the weekends. Weekends were the fun time.
You would be driving an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Because the traffic doesn't move by the time you get to the 605, right? So
you're not in a good state by the time you get to the hospital. No,
because it's very South Pasadena, right? Right off the 110 and, you know.
Yeah. So, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. So that makes a difference. But in talking about fear, I had my biggest experience was reaching out to my godmother, who I had. She was a wonderful, wonderful godmother, but I had not had a relationship with her. I just saw her, prior would have been maybe 7 years when her father passed away. And it was always cordial and she was just always lovely, but I never talked to her regularly or what have you. Well, I had heard she had cancer, and she had long used homeopathic alternatives to Western medicine. But I guess this tumor came back and with a vengeance. And so she was undergoing chemo and radiation. My mother had told me, that's my mother's cousin, is my godmother. So I don't know how I ended up getting, she was living with my cousin, my godmother, my cousin's phone number. And something was telling me I should reach out to her. And believe me, I did not want to, because I did not have the confidence, or I just always feel it's weird to reach out to someone you haven't talked to. I feel like, you know, they're going to be like, what? Why are you here now? I make up stories. That's my own issue. So anyway, I reach out, I send a text saying that I, you know, heard how she's doing and that I am now Reiki, practicing Reiki and healing. And I explain a little bit about it. And if she should ever be interested in it, I would love to come over to the home and offer her this Reiki healing. So I don't hear anything. And that's good. And that's fine for me. But then I do, you know, maybe I think it was maybe a month and a half goes by and I get the text and it's, you know, my worst fear. Oh my God, no. I mean, right. Because now I'm going to have to do something. And so we schedule a time and I go down there and, you know, she's so frail. She's at the very end of her treatments and she's just exhausted. She's had, she had throat cancer. So, radiation, her neck is raw. She's very ill, very, very, very frail. And, we go in, we talk, whatever. She gets she has a coughing spell and I don't even know what to do. I'm just kind of like hiding off to the side. And then I think, oh my gosh, it's too much. I think she just probably, I should just go. And so I tell my cousin, I said, well, I don't want to be in the way. You know, I feel like I've taken too much time. Maybe I should just leave. And she goes, oh, well, you're not going to do healing. And that's what I need, you know, because I'm always worried about stepping on toes. And I said, oh, absolutely. She still wants it. Of course. So I end up doing the Reiki and it's a wonderful experience. And she, when I leave, she's asleep and I feel just great that it went so well. And I go home and I'm just so grateful, you know, to the universe, to God, just for the opportunity that I pushed through my fears. And this was so remarkable. It's just so, so beautiful, because this is what the epitome of healing is all about, is to offer love, offer that support in your most fearful experiences, you know, for me, because that was really, really hard to do. And then that evening, my cousin had texted me and said, she's been long asleep. She hasn't slept in like, you know, 6 weeks. She still is asleep. I'm going to wake her up because they have to feed her through a stomach tube. I've got to give her some food. And the next day she tells me, I woke her up. I fed her. She went right back to sleep and she just had the most sound sleep. But the next day she had just such beautiful things to say. And I ended up going back three more times and until the end of her treatment, and then saw her after. And she's now since moved my cousin moved to Texas. She's doing well, she's flourishing. And it was a beautiful gift that, you know, as much as she thanks me for coming when she needed me, I thank her, you know, and spirit for just allowing, because if that didn't prove, you know, to me what that Reiki was just bigger than, again, the act of being there. It was just, it was an intention. It was love. It was bonding. It was a connection. So it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And so my words of advice to anyone who is ever doubting themselves and wanting to help somebody, reach out. And if it's a no, that's okay. That, you know, but if it's a yes, that's okay.
That's and
do
okay.
it and do it and do it. Don't sell yourself short, you know, do it, because it's probably going to be a remarkable opportunity for you in your own growth and your own healing.
And you know,
certainly for them.
If it's not, do it, because focus on, get out of your own way. Focus on the fact that you just want to help. And if you come at this with, I am simply offering help, that to me bolsters my confidence. Like, even if I biffed it and it's awful or whatever, I was there trying to help, and they know that I'm just trying to help. And that gets the perfectionist part of me to go away, because I've been on both sides of the disappointment, right? I've ironically, when I first got Reiki, it was years and years ago, and I couldn't feel it. It turns out I need them to touch. If you just put your hands over me, I won't feel it. So a friend of mine had recommended this wonderful healer, and I went to her for a few months, and I just felt nothing. And I was like, I don't get it. I don't want to do this anymore. And it took years. Oh, no, that was it. The last session I did, her son came in, who was also a Reiki person, and she asked him to work on my feet. Well, he actually put his hands on my ankles, and all of a sudden my entire leg, I felt the Reiki for the first time. And I'd been going for months, and I was like, oh my God. But it was kind of too little too late. I couldn't afford to go back. So at first, you know, I've been on that side where I'm thinking nothing's happening. And now I play back the sessions she did for me, and I know exactly what she was doing. I know exactly where it was, because of my old habits coming back. I wasn't ready to move on, that the healing she did was blocked. Like, I totally get it. Like, she is totally avenged in my mind. I totally get it. But I've also been on the other side where recently I did a tarot reading, and I just know that what I'm telling them is not, is going in one ear and out the other, and that they are going to think I told them nothing new and they're not going to get it. And yet I see everything playing out that I said would play out, but she's not ready to take the steps to move on. It's not time to move from the lesson. So sometimes you are the person who delivers the aha moment, which may be because you're absolutely brilliant, or maybe because you're the 20th person to give that message and it finally sank in. But it's great whenever you get to be the aha person. Or sometimes you're the first drip in the bucket. And that's what I was for that one reading. I was the first drop in the bucket. Somebody else is going to have to come by and do it or whatever. Build
their place is very important too, right? Wouldn't you say? Because that's, you got to start somewhere. Yeah. So either it's, oh, I'm not getting what I want of it, I need to try more, that's getting you to try more. Or, oh my gosh, it's so great, I want to try more. So they're both valuable in either to push you one way or another.
So we're just focusing on, I'm here to help. So whatever that looks like, if I'm handing the baton to the next runner and I'll be forgotten, that's okay, because I'm here to help.
Part of the race. You're part of the win. You're there to help. How about you, Heather? Anything to elaborate on that? When we're offering help, not having expectations or not worrying about how it's going to be received, just, I'm here to give you what you've either asked for or what I think I can offer you.
It's just more what Angela was saying. Don't beat yourself up. You know, if you're just showing up just to be helpful, be of service, that's in itself. Trust that, you know, spirit's there to help you too. It's just not you. And you may not feel it, you may not know it, but they're there too. And trust in that as well. Because I remember for the longest time, it took me several years to be not feeling like, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not doing this right, there's just nothing coming through. It's
insecurity,
imposter syndrome.
Huge
imposter syndrome.
Huge,
because those expectations that you've got to be, especially if you come, we, you know, two of us here have trained under our Reiki master. We share one Reiki master, and she's a beautiful, brilliant lady. And it's hard not to want to be, you know, to that standard, that level, and do it, you know, that right way. But luckily she's given us the foundation to find our own way and to become our individual self. And to believe that what we're doing is just as valuable and worthy and right as the way we were taught.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't even use the Reiki symbols anymore. I haven't used them for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't resonate with you.
I just go with my intuition and just whatever I've done to help heal myself, I apply it to other people.
Oh, very good. I love that it evolves and we kind of put our own spin on it. And our own intentions, because we get more comfortable, right? And it becomes something, instead of that rigid, oh, you got to do this or that, it becomes, this is how I move through, because you've embraced it.
Yeah.
Oh, made it my gosh. I didn't realize how kamikaze or cowboy I'd gotten working in the hospital. Because I also tend to learn the rules so that I can forget the rules. I'm uncomfortable with codified behavior after a while. I really chafe at that. So when we started working in the hospital, especially because in the hospital, you don't want to give the appearance or the impression that you are counteracting the doctor or listen to me. And not, you know, so I wouldn't even do scanning because I didn't want it to look diagnostic. I was just very much like, I'm here to give the energy.
Really?
And also to just not get caught up in ceremony. I would tell the person I was training, I'm like, okay, internally, you know, do what you need to do. But when we walk in, there's not a lot of, you know, outward display of ritual or ceremony, in part because we don't know where the patient's coming from. And we want there to be as little resistance to what we're doing as possible mentally. But also because I wanted people that I was training and for me to see this as every day and common as taking an aspirin. This Reiki that we're doing is as real and as everyday mundane as taking aspirin for a headache. Like it's that, yes, it's woo. Yes, it's mystical, but it's also, there's an element of it that is so practical and real. So I lost all sense of like form and hand positions and signs. And when I go into a room and I work on someone, it becomes energy soup. Everything is like, there's no form. And I'm just raising the energy level up and then I separate it out. So then I go to back to my one of my teachers. She was doing a Reiki clinic and she is very, you know, she's a practically a medicine woman. Like she's the real thing. And all of a sudden I'm like, I have no clue what the hand positions are
supposed to be.
And we're inside. I'm like, oh God, oh damn. And I'm like looking at everybody else over the shoulder. Like, where are they now? Oh, right. The abdomen. Right. We do that one. And it's just like,
yeah, but to me, off your game, yeah.
It doesn't mean anything to me. It comes through differently. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree
what
with
about
that,
you, Stephanie? Heather? Do you follow the?
I'm very ritualistic, and so when you were talking, I was picturing myself, and that's, I understand what you're saying because I overcompensate for worrying about how people are going to take things on a regular basis. However, the other side of it is, if I was in a hospital bed and you came in, I would much rather have someone that looks like they embrace ceremony and a different thing than just coming over and going, bah, da, 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 da. I'm like, I could do that. I want, I love mystical and I embrace. So if you want to hit feathers in my face, don't spit though. I don't like that spit. You know?
No, that's good. Yeah. Where,
that's, you know, extra.
To your point, that's true because I do bring tuning forks in. There is a sense of
somewhere, but I understand what you were
ceremony.
Doing.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I embrace. Wear the bells. There you go. You're the other one. Wear the bells. Have the bracelets. Do you? Because I just resonate with that.
Yeah.
But I would overthink it, like, you know, like you did, worrying, you know, about, that's right. You're in a medical thing, and like you say, not scanning. That makes perfect sense. You know. But to me, it reminds me of when I do those things, I continually stop myself from being my authentic self, because my authentic self wants to be, hey, if you don't want a peacock, then don't invite me. Believe me, I'm not even peacock yet, but you know, I'm more of a quail. But I long to be a peacock, but I'm too afraid. See, so when I hear times where people are accommodating others. I think here's another example of me not allowing myself to be me. And mm-hmm. I've just done that for so long. I long to be, you know, that shamanic woman coming in and, you know, making all the noise through the halls. too many good movies I've seen. Well,
you know, to your point, there is an element, and I am very mindful of, and I think this is my acting background, of the presentation. Like when I walk into a room, I grab the room. I am the healer and I'm here. You know, so there is this level of like, boom, we're mm-hmm. here.
Right.
And there is this beauty of like, especially when I would work with Heather, our movements would become kind of coordinated and it would look like this dance. So there was this sort of very otherworldly type of, and then ballet. We had, you know, the tuning forks to clear the air. Like, so there was this sense you have, of uh-huh. this is different,
right.
but in terms of, we didn't have time to meditate in between each room. Mm-hmm. We didn't have time to burn incense because God right. knows it could be allergic. You know, there
exactly.
was
exactly. Yeah, you don't element. Do those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. We couldn't like, let's right. face these.
This wasn't your space. You know what I mean? You're in a borrowed space to come in there. Work, so you yeah. got to respect the environment, you know,
yeah.
It's not showtime per se. Right. It's not, even though a lot of the time it's used as entertainment value. That's yeah. how things are written for intuitive work, which is unfortunate, but yeah, in this case, right? You really, it's a fine line to walk sometimes, isn't it? Because your true authentic self
yeah.
may want to be a little more flamboyant with how you do things, because that's you really getting into maybe who you are and how you heal.
Yeah,
but we got to curb it many times because it can be ridiculous to not everyone's open to it, right?
Because legal. you don't want the legal department of the hospital no. coming and being like, no. stop rubbing the patients like that. Stop it.
And aren't eagle feathers illegal?
So we're having complaints about a chicken foot. What's going on?
That's extra.
Yeah. But I will tell you this, when we finally get our physical Reiki clinic, yeah, when it's there in the hospital, physically there in the hospital, there will be a lot more peacocking going on. There
that's,
will be,
that's good.
Because it will be our space that they
right.
come into.
Right.
So,
and rightly
we'll have you there. So you
there
can
we go. That's right.
Do your then, flourishes.
Then I will be, because that's part of it. It's not for everyone, but that's like any field, right? You get some that are going to be more scientific, some that are going to be more holistic, and some charismatic, and some don't talk. So, but you'll find your audience will come out based on word of mouth and who you are. And
yeah.
to me, that would be just, I'd like to be true to how I want to go about it. Well, who knows? Maybe that'll never be. Maybe it's just a pipe dream. I don't know.
Well, I think it will be. I think you will be. But you make a good point. Like, you have to be authentic. It's like attracting the right partner. The right spouse. Like, if you're not authentic, you're not putting out the right feelers, and you're going to attract the wrong people. So, you know, let your freak flag fly. Yeah. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody or yourself, be exactly. who you are so that the right people can find you.
Right. Right. Because healing your attention is what matters. What that's dressed in yeah. is irrelevant. Right.
Yeah.
You know, there was a beautiful moment. So we were doing the virtual Reiki clinic today, and I was leading my little group, and we had three people, and they were all from different areas, right? And when we share our notes at the end, everybody, one person's, Joe is much more like physical and scanning and diagnostic. Ariane was much more empathic. And then I tend to have these, of course, the visions, the shaman type thing. And it was so cool because even though we all approached it at a different angle, the core of what we were working on was all the same. It was so neat to see these three different perspectives, and they were all equally valid, and they were all yes. saying the same thing in different ways. It's really cool.
And that's going to be great for the client to yes. see which language they resonate with, right? Because, mm-hmm. And maybe they will with all three, they'll get it, but how wonderful that yeah. just expression a different way. And that's the beauty of it. When you are excited about it, you know,
that's
you
see, why,
hear and feel differently.
And that's why being the healer that you are and the way that you are is so important, because you have no idea if you're starting to mimic somebody else. We all get influenced by each other's right. styles, mm-hmm. but if you start to just mimic at the cost of your own authentic voice, you have no idea who you're robbing of of a truly authentic aha moment, because they were supposed to hear your version.
Yeah.
And you imitated somebody else.
I remember the first time Heather picked up a technique. I don't know, we haven't done Reiki in so long. I've totally forgot it. But when we do the back of the head, there was that the gentle lift and the gent, you know, it just always seemed so forced. I never liked it. I didn't want, because if I wanted people to rest, I never liked this moving the head that way and putting it that way. And Heather would just scoop under and she cradled, you know, the skull. And it was just always so, it felt so wonderful how she put her fingers in and hold that orbital area. I'm making up that word, wherever that is. And it I love that move.
Oh,
and
I'm
like,
because
it's cradling the skull. And it's just like, that's so beautiful. And it was just so natural. You know, I just love that move. I think it's so great.
I haven't done that for a while, but yeah.
And I love it. Don't stop.
I won't. I'll pick it back up.
I love that.
That sounds like the best move.
Yeah. Aww. You know, there's several, and just like, well, Donna, you know, and because she's a masseuse, on the feet where it's a gentle touch, you know, she would just gently rub, you know, and of course she knew us all, and it may be different with her own clients, but that just a gentle, just something, you know, it's just amazing how some people add certain things. But I will say, you know, saying it over the lines, but that's okay. It's nothing bad. But what I really disliked was when a couple times on the show, we would do the hair, there'd be some people who were new or that were part of our usual group, and they would comb the hair. I wear bangs. And so please don't. And they would like pull my bangs back and I'm getting the vampire look. And I'm like, and because of me, I don't want to rock anyone's boat. Instead of saying, oh, please don't do that, I would just endure it and pull me out of the experience of healing, because now I'm like, wait, what are they doing?
Frustrated.
This is horrible. Yeah. Oh yeah. It would just rob me of it. But that was probably, again, an opportunity for me, again, to utilize what feels good, what's not. And, you know,
sounds like boundary. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You get these opportunities. Yes. Yes. And both giving and receiving.
Right. Well, it also gives them, next time when somebody does do that, I highly recommend if there's something, like if our listeners don't like something that a practitioner is doing, I highly recommend letting them know so that you know, it's not going to hurt the practitioner's feeling.
No. That's great, Heather. That is so true. That is a great, great bit of information. It should be as beautiful and wonderful and comfortable as you desire. You know,
exactly.
We're there to serve. We're exactly. not there to make you uncomfortable or in pain.
Exactly.
Or ruin your bangs. You know?
Exactly.
That's funny.
But like Heather said, boundaries. It was something for me to learn and to move through.
All right. We'd like to thank the listeners for listening to us today. We hope you're able to find the healing magic within.
Thank you for listening to us on the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. Remember, when we open ourselves to healing, we positively affect our environment. This podcast represents the opinion of the Three Intuitive Healers and their guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical or psychological advice and is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Each person is unique, so please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Views and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not represent that of our places of work. While we make every effort to ensure that the information we share is accurate, no guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made in this podcast.